of courage. And he thought, like, my problem is going to be solved. Told his wife, make some nice rotis or some bread of that legion, whatever bread it was. Make some bread and you must lace it with this poison, you know. So they put the poison all in the bread. Then now he went in the yard and he started putting this bread at strategic locations. And he made his tea and all of that. He brought his chair and all outside. He told his wife, come, we sit outside today. We'll have a little bit of fun. We'll see these baboons eating the bread. And that'll be the last of them. They're going to die after this. So after a short period of time, the baboons came past because they work in like a, I think it, maybe a troop or in like a group. So they came past that place. And now they saw the bread. So he said, he's nudging it. He's telling, there's a desert now. It's almost done. They're going to eat the bread now. And it's over. You know? So the baboons came right there and then they started smelling the bread. Started smelling the bread. And now they stopped. So this person is saying, hey, what's happening here now? Man, I spent money on this thing. I don't know. Can these guys smell it? How is it? Why didn't they just, normally they just dive for everything else there, you know? Anyway, now he's getting a bit agitated, smelling it. Then eventually they started making some sounds. It's a true story, yeah? This is a true story. They started making some sounds. And they called, you know, he didn't know, but he saw that one elderly baboon came. Older one. So he came there, it's as if they called him. He came and he smelled this bread. He's smelling the bread. Then he went inside into the forest and he brought a bunch of twigs in his hand. Now he started passing around these twigs. And then he himself, he took a bite of the twig and then he ate the bread. Now all the baboons are taking the bite of the twigs and they're eating the bread. Right? And this man said, okay, well, they're eating it now. It's something that happened, but I don't know what the twigs got to do with it. But now they're eating all the bread. They finished the bread. They started eating the cabbages also. They ate all the cabbages that were there, whatever was growing. Now he's getting very upset. He said, I spent thousands of rand, whatever currency. It's not from this country, from another country. I spent so much of money on this poison. And all these, you know, it's of to no avail. My wife also, the wife is all telling me, see, you're the fool, you. You made me work the whole morning to make this bread for the whole army of dead. These people had a good meal. And they ate our cabbages also. You know? So now he got upset, he got in his vehicle, he drove back to the farm stall, telling that man, your poison, it doesn't work. He said, no, I've given this poison to so many people. Tell me what happened. So he explained the whole story to him. He said, you know, all I can think of is that for every poison, there's an antidote. And that old baboon, when he came, from his experience now, he smelled that poison. He knew exactly what they must eat with it so that they don't get sick. So that twig that they were eating was the antidote for the poison. And that's how all of them survived. So anyway, the moral of the story is, it's a humorous story, but the moral of the story is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such type of creation. Such type of creation. We look at the creation of Allah sometimes and we think that, you know, we can make better. Most of the time, man copies the creation of Allah to try and make something himself. You look at the helicopter, you look at the birds, etc. I mean, you look at the planes. There are animals in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fly faster, that are more agile. And we have taken aspects from there to learn how to make a plane and a helicopter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these creatures, they are born every day. They are designed in the darkness of the stomach of that mother. It's wired in the darkness of the womb of that mother, of that animal. So anyway, coming to our topic, so we said first, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the bounties of Allah, and this evokes the love of Allah ta'ala in his heart, or her heart. The second is that the person looks at the beauty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be seen in His creation, can be seen in the sun. The poet, he says, Are yaro khaliq ko shakar ka jamal e shams ka noor e qamar ka. He said that, oh my friends, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Allah ta'ala in gratefulness. Jamal e shams ka noor e qamar ka. That the beauty of the sun is seen in the light of the moon. The beauty of the sun is seen in the light of the moon. So what does this mean? I think all of us here will know a little bit about what astronomy. So astronomy, we know that the sun's light is reflected on the moon. When the moon is eclipsed from the sun, it turns dark. The moon itself doesn't have its own light. Doesn't have its own light. When the moon is bright, it is the reflection of the sun that we see in the moon. So, oh my servant, the poet is basically saying that like how you appreciate the beauty of the sun in the moon when you see its light, look at all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at it. It is just a reflection of the grandeur and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a reflection. We should use this as an antibiotic for our own selves. That whatever good we achieve, we are as good as the moon. Whatever good we achieve, whatever goodness we find in ourselves, it is actually the mercy, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being shone through us. Allah is the one who is the real giver. He built a masjid, that intelligence is from Allah, that wealth that he got to build it, the knowledge he got about how to build it. If he was a person who had a problem with his brain, where he had to put a foundation, he wouldn't know how to lay a brick. People will have to help him to walk in life. Everything that we are able to achieve is happening through us, but it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we recognize Allah Ta'ala through His bounties. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the du'as that are recited, we are running out of time, the du'as that are recited in the beginning, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are many du'as in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has asked for the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in those du'as are little lessons on how we can achieve and get this love. So the first du'a that I recited, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubba. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Allah, Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. I ask you for this passionate love for you. I ask you for your love. وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكَ. And I ask you for the love of those people that love you. وَحُبَّ عَمَلَ الَّذِي يُقَرِّبُ إِلَىٰ حُبِّكَ. And I ask you for the love of those deeds, those actions that will take me towards your love. That will make me beloved to you or make you beloved in my heart. So one of the things that is mentioned here is that we must have love for those people that love Allah. And if the ulama, when they explain this dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they say first Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for the love of Allah. And immediately after that, he asked Allah to give him the love of those people that have love for Allah. Who was the greatest lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that would be the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. And then those that came after, we can find in our midst, wherever we are in the world, around the globe, if a person is really searching, he can find those people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first he must love and have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran tells us what we must do if we love Allah Ta'ala also. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Let's say to, O Nabi of Allah, to those that claim that they have love for me. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So follow me. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must tell those people that say that they got love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that follow me. follow my teachings, the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And Allah will forgive you of your sins. So it shows us that to get this love of Allah Ta'ala, we have to love those that love Allah Ta'ala, and the greatest lover is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Greatest lover. We should always introspect our heart and see whether we have any deficiencies in this love. Is there something in my heart that there's a problem with this love that I'm supposed to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Every aspect of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life will be beloved to us. His appearance will be beloved to us. His teachings should be beloved to us. Everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood for should be beloved to us. This is how we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those things that weren't important to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his fikrs, should be important to us. Whatever was the worry of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be our worry. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to establish in the dunya, we should want to establish that also. So we should be analyzing to see, do we have the correct love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is there some part of me, and if there is, we don't have to talk about it to anyone else, we must ask Allah Ta'ala for guidance. Let's ask Allah for hidayat. Ya Allah, make me completely happy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why one of the famous du'as that we are taught to recite every day, Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulahu wa nabiyya. That, oh Allah, every morning we should be saying, Ya Allah, I am pleased with you as my Rabb. I'm pleased. I'm very happy. I was in non-existence, you brought me into existence. This also ties up with the love of Allah. I was in non-existence, you brought me into existence. You gave me so many bounties from the time I was a child up to this very moment. You blessed me with Islam. Oh Allah, I'm happy with you as my Rabb. I'm happy. Whatever road you took me in life, that was the best road for me. You knew what was good for me, oh Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the human being. He knows what makes this human being tick. What will be good for this human being? What will be bad for this human being? That's in general, but Allah even knows for each and every one of us, me and you, what specifically is good for us. Which specific road in this world is good for us? If poverty is good for us, Allah Ta'ala protect us, but if that is good for us, Allah may take sometimes the person through that road. Sometimes wealth is good for that person. Sometimes being alone is good for this person. Sometimes having a big family is good for that person. Sometimes for this person, it'll be good for him if he's the leader of a big organization. Sometimes for some person, it's better if he doesn't lead anybody. Allah alone knows why he took us through a certain route. Whatever we go through in life, it's not that it's just happening by accident. No. We wouldn't plan anything. Would we wake up in the morning any day and chart out a specific set of actions for no reason whatsoever? Maybe there'll be some people, some part of it, they didn't think about it, right? I'm agreeing. But the whole day, his whole life, he never thought about anything he's doing. Even when a person is hungry, he goes to eat because he's got a reason, he's hungry. He wants to eat. He doesn't eat for no reason. Okay, if he does that, maybe there's something else in his life. We'll say this person, if he does something for no reason, he doesn't even think about why he's doing it, that he's a foolish person. Which person wastes his life like that? And if we find that hard to believe of an ordinary human being, then what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is the most knowledgeable? Allah Ta'ala is the most knowledgeable. Everything is happening at the decision of Allah. Would Allah make a decision for us for no apparent reason? Just woman desire. No, that is not befitting the respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not befitting of the respect of Allah. Allah is so knowledgeable and so wise. Whatever we're going through in our life, we must believe with our full heart and conviction that Allah put me in this position for a certain reason. I've been chosen to take this road for a certain reason. If he made me white, he made me black, he made me Indian, he made me poor, he made me rich, he made me African, he made me American, he made me European. Every single decision that he chose for me, that is there for a reason. If I started off as a non-Muslim and I found my way into Islam, that's there for a reason. If I was born in a Muslim family, that was there for a reason. Whatever it may be, this road has been chosen. Allah has the capacity to make decisions in the favor of everyone simultaneously. We can't do that. We don't have that capacity. If we make one good decision, yes, it disfavors another person. As they say, the government sometimes, we can't please everyone. They say, you can't please everyone. So they make decisions for some, or for them. It doesn't benefit somebody else. Somebody will say, in my case, it didn't work for me. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited like us. Allah's one decision for everyone is beneficial for everyone. He's able to control the finest, minutest details of our life. So we should ponder over that. We should ponder over that. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammadin rasulahu wa nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is someone that we should be happy with as being our nabi. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us from amongst the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should love Him. And if we find that we're not loving Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enough, it's one of the most common reasons is that we don't know enough about Him. That's what we should ask ourselves. How much do I know about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How much do I know? Try and take up a study and learn about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Attend some program where regularly they are talking about the Rasul of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will automatically evoke in us this love for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ending of the dua, and we'll terminate there. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, وَحُبَّ عَمَلِي يُقَرِّبُ إِلَىٰ حُبِّكَ. That, oh Allah, give me the love of those deeds. That, you know, sometimes a person tells his wife, tell me what you want so I can do it for you, you know. Because he loves his wife. He tells him, tell me, whatever you, what will make you happy, that's what will make me happy. What will make you happy, that's what will make me happy. I'm just wanting to know what you want me to do, and I'm gonna do that. I know I'm gonna secure your love. You're gonna be happy with me, and this person is doing it also because he loves that person. He loves that person. So he's asking Allah, Ya Allah, give me the love of those deeds, those actions. Because if I love them, I'll do it. If I love it, I'll do it. Those actions that will take me towards your love. That when I practice upon it and I do it, I will get more in love with you and you will love me. This is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he was asking from Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to fall in love with Him. In our life, we've fallen in love with many things. But honestly, brothers, we must ask ourselves, have we tried to fall in love with Allah? Have we tried to fall in love with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And going back to what I said in the beginning, for those who came late or who just arrived now, that the love of Allah Ta'ala is the steam that we require. It is the motivation, it is the fuel that will push this train or this body of ours towards the obedience of Allah. Towards doing that which is pleasing to Him and staying away from that which is displeasing to Him. This was the object of the month of Ramadan. Is to attain taqwa, and we explain that taqwa is to do that which is pleasing to Allah and abstain from that which is displeasing to Allah. I make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant me first the tawfiq of amal. Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq of amal. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala guide the ummah. Have mercy on the ummah. the order of the day today, and I mentioned this before, that when the news is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives information about the condition of his ummah. And when we look at this condition, then definitely it is bringing pain to the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must make dua for the ummah. We need to make amal. We need to try our best. We may not be able to solve the macro problems just like that. Right? But each and every one of us try and solve the problems that are around us. Inshallah, this group effort will assist the ummah. Allah Ta'ala have mercy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.